From tests to T20, William Hill InPlay Radio brings you the best bets in the world of cricket. With dedicated experts including ex-England and Yorkshire batsman Anthony McGrath, we've got our eyes on everything from the match betting to the next over. InPlay Radio, your eyes on a world of betting.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the William Hill Cricket Podcast. We're taking a look ahead to the final eight in the World Cup. It's quarter-final stages, so the competition really hots up at this point. Sam Norris here with you in the studio, and joining me on the line, as ever, is former England cricketer Anthony McGrath to take a look at some of the betting. How are you today, Anthony?
Very well, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Looking forward to the final eight in this tournament. This is where it gets competitive.
It is, yeah. I think this is what a lot of people have been waiting for. Normally, the eight best sides, and probably before the tournament, the only one who's probably missing out is England. The rest of the seven you'd expect to be here. And like you say, anyone really can beat anyone at this stage.
Yeah, certainly is. And before we move on to some of the betting, I suppose we'd best take a quick post-mortem, if you like, at England. A bitterly disappointing performance from Peter Moore's men in the tournament. What were the key factors for you, Anthony? Where did it all go wrong?
A bit of everything, really. I don't think the team was ever right. We were chopping and changing right up to the first game against Australia. You know, we'd played solid 5-6 months of one-day cricket and still hadn't come up with a consistent formula with what we were going to do, either with bat or ball. So I think that was the first thing. And then I think if you've seen how the other teams have played, especially with the bat, you know, been really positive all the way through the innings. You know, I think we just lacked that that dynamic batting power, really. And then with the ball, we didn't have any pace really to trouble the batsman, and we didn't play a frontline sprinter in James Treadwell. So, you know, how the competition was set up, we should have qualified. And if you don't qualify, you know, against the teams we were playing, then you don't deserve to go through.
Yeah, certainly. And is Peter Moore the man for you to be leading England for? I mean, there's some people have been saying that his position's become untenable, really.
I think I'd stick with him now. I mean, he's not been in the job that long. I guess he will argue he needs a little bit more time. I think they've got to give him the summer against New Zealand and Australia and see where we go from there, really. You know, he has done the job before. We know what happened last time. But again, if we change and change, you know, the management again and lose against Australia and New Zealand this summer, do we change again? You know, I think there's got to be a little bit of common sense and consistency there. But I'd personally just look at it again at the end of the summer.
Well, we'll move on then. We'll take a look at some of the teams who are still in the tournament. We'll start with the first of the quarterfinals then. This one comes up on Wednesday from Sydney. It sees South Africa take on Sri Lanka. It's 2-5 for South Africa, 15-8 about Sri Lanka. And this is the one quarterfinal, Anthony, which could be really dependent on which way the toss goes. South Africa have tended to excel when batting first in this competition, and less so when batting second. They've been bowled out for 177 and 202, I think, when they've batted second. So will Sri Lanka be looking to put South Africa in first here if they've got any chance?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, the game's in Sydney, the SCG. Historically, you can see the ball turn, especially late in the summer, which it is now in Australia. That may be a factor. Obviously, it'll depend on the weather. I just think this is one of the hardest quarterfinals to call, really. I think South Africa are very short at 2-5. Sri Lanka really in form. They've really picked up, especially with the bat. And the spin could come into it. It's not been a great tournament for the spinners, but obviously South Africa have got one of the leading spinners in Tahir, and there's a bit of a doubt over Haraf, I think, for Sri Lanka. So that could be key. But like you say, the toss will be interesting. I think that'll come down to what the pitch conditions are. If it looks like it's going to be conducive to spin, I think whoever wins the toss will bat first.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. And do you think South Africa will be able to lose this bottle attack that they've been given in tournaments gone past? Because a lot of people rightly pointing out it's not actually been this squad per se that have been the bottlers.
Yeah, I think people look back at past results and past tournaments, and as you say, there's none of this team really that's been involved with that. So I think that's a little bit unfair. People just look to get a psychological edge. I actually think South Africa are the better team, especially with the ball. Both teams are absolutely outstanding with the bat. some of the leading run scorers. I think Sri Lanka, Sengakkara and Dilshan are 1 and 4 in the list, and De Villiers is 3. So that just shows the runs they've got. But I just think South Africa edged this because the firepower they've got with the ball. And as I said to here, the leg spinners had a good tournament as well.
OK. We'll move on then to take a look at some of the batsman markets. As you mentioned, there's some explosive batsmen in both lineups. We'll start with top South African batsmen. AB de Villiers and Hashim Amla lead this market 11-4 apiece. Du Plessis 4-1. De Kock 9-2, and it's 7s bar those. No surprise to see de Villiers right at the front of this market, Anthony. We're running out of superlatives to describe him at the moment.
We are. I mean, the only thing is, how long can he keep doing it for? Because some of the innings are absolutely incredible. They really are. You just think he's going to miss hit one soon and, you know, give a catch away or miss one. But his striking has been incredible from not many balls. And I think South Africa again, David Miller is very similar to that. We've not seen him, you know, he had, I think, 100 in the first game, but he's due another big innings. And the man I like as well is Hashim Amla. I think if I had to pick, I'd go for Hashim Amla, at 11-4, just ahead of de Villiers. He heads up the innings and he really, you know, South Africa looked to bat round him. And I think, again, he's scored 307 runs in this tournament and he's in good form as well.
OK, Hashim Amla then in that market for Anthony. We'll move on to Sri Lanka's top batsman. And they've got plenty of firepower in their side as well. Sangakkara's 5-2, Dilshan 7-2, Jai Warden at 9-2, 11-2 bar those. Who do you like to look at for Sri Lanka?
Well, I mean, the man who's just, again, we talked about superlatives for de Villiers is Kumar Sangakkara. He's been unbelievable. You know, deciding, you know, this could be his last tournament, his last game. For Sri Lanka, there's a bit of chat about that in the media. Dilshan, you've mentioned as well, who's had a great tournament, and Tiramani, the other opener as well, who's done really well. Again, I just wonder whether Sangakkara can keep going to the well and keep pulling out these performances. I think if I had to go, I'd probably go with Dilshan just ahead of him, just for the reasons he's slightly better price. And he's in good form as well. So I think Dilshan for me at 7-2.
OK, Dilshan then the pick for Anthony in that market. We'll move on to take a look at some of the bowlers then. Top South African bowler first, Dale Steyn, 11-4 favourite in this market. Tahir is 3-1. 3-1 about Morne Morkel as well. Kyle Abbott, 7-2. And 4s bar those. You mentioned it hasn't been a particularly prolific tournament for the spinners. With that in mind, would you be looking at the pace bowlers?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the pitch conditions will tell us a lot, and if it spins anywhere in Australia, it normally is the SCG. But historically, South Africa have struggled against the quicker bowlers, you know, and South Africa have two of the quickest in Dale Steyn and Morne Morkel. I like Dale Steyn at 11-4. You know, swings the ball really aggressive, bowls well to the left-handers as well, so he heads the market for a reason. Obviously, there's the headline offer as well of Dale Steyn, top South Africa bowler, and South Africa win at 4-1. That might be another way to go. But just on the individual market, I'd go with Dale Steyn.
OK, Dale Steyn then in that one. And yeah, as you mentioned, the headline off there looks pretty tempting at 4-1. Top Sri Lanka bowler then last up. We've got Malinga at 9-4. Harath is 7-2. Lakmal is also a 7-2 shot, and 4-1 or bigger the rest of those. Who do you like for Sri Lanka?
I think if Sri Lanka have any chance in this game, their main man, Malinga, has got to bowl well. He's 11 wickets in the tournament. Harath, as I said, is a little doubt over his injury. He's the main spinner. Lakmal's bowled okay, but I think their main man is Malinga. He has got to have a big day. He bowls at the death, and we've seen with Miller, Dumini, de Villiers, de Plessis at the end, runs are a premium. You've got to keep the runs down. So Malinga will have to work his magic. So even though he's short, I'd go for him at 9-4.
OK, then 9-4 for Malinga for the top Sri Lanka bowler for Anthony then. Any other markets catch your eye before we move on?
There's just a couple. In the individual player market, we talked about all the great performances. The man who's really struggled in the tournament is Quinton de Kock, the other opener for South Africa. There's a player match bet, Faf du Plessis against Quinton de Kock. He can bet du Plessis to outscore de Kock at 4-5. If you look at the runs, du Plessis scored 277 to de Kock's 53. So I think that's a really good bet there on du Plessis. And I always like to get involved in the man of the match market. I mentioned him a little bit during the South Africa batting. David Miller, 18-1, outstanding fielder, but someone who can come in and, like de Villiers, give a match-winning performance and hit fours and sixes at the end. And I think he's due a big knock. So I'd David Miller at 18-1.
Okay, fair enough then. David Miller, 18-1 for man of the match, and also Du Plessis versus de Kock at 4-5. That's under the players tab on the market for that one. We'll move ahead then to the game on Thursday. This one sees India taking on Bangladesh. India are 1-6. It's 4-1 about Bangladesh. India, the shortest price favourites of anyone at the quarterfinal stage, Anthony. Perhaps not surprising. I mean, they're the holders of this tournament. They're unbeaten in the last 10 in the World Cup, which stretches back to that previous tournament. And it's Bangladesh's first time in the quarterfinal. So they're already feeling as though they've overachieved, perhaps. And this will be a very tough assignment.
That Bangladesh had against England mentally, it'll be tough, you know, for them to repeat a performance like that. And I think the surprise for me in the whole tournament has been India. 6 wins out of 6. If you'd have watched them in the tri-series against England and Australia, I would have given them no chance in this tournament. They look to be all over the place, but fair play to them. They've played some really good cricket since then, and I think they'll win this game comfortably.
Okay, we'll take a look at some of the markets surrounding it then. Top India batsman first up, Dhawan is 11-4, Kohli 11-4 as well. Rohit Sharma is 3-1, Rahane 11-2, 13-2 or bigger, the rest of them. Can you see anyone picking up a big score here at the MCG?
You could pick any, really. I think the man who surprised me has been Shaka Dhawan. He's had a terrible 12 months, really, and you know, I think he's surprised everyone with just how well he's played. The man I'm going to go for is Suresh Raina. He scored 100 in his last innings against Zimbabwe. So again, he'll be feeling good about himself. He does bat a little bit down the order. He can come in at 5. But I think he represents a really good price at 13-2. Excellent player. Someone who can score quickly, hit the boundaries. So I think for me, Suresh Raina.
Okay, Suresh Raina then available at 13-2 in that top India batsman market. We'll take a look at Bangladesh then. Mamadullah is the favourite in this one at 7-2. Iqbal is 4-1. Al Hassan 9-2, along with Sarkar. It's 5-1 bar those. Bangladesh might not get a massive score here, Antony.
No. I mean, Mamadullah had a great tournament. We saw his batting against England. Been a little bit disappointed with Tamin Iqbal, who's second in the market. He's only scored 129 runs. So it's a tough one. I think you've got to go on form. I think the two men in form for Bangladesh are Mamadullah at 7-2 and Rahim at 5-1. So it'd be between them two, and I'd probably go with a man in form with Mamadullah at 7-2.
Okay, Mamadullah then, yeah, as you mentioned, been the real form dog for Bangladesh in this tournament. We'll take a look at the bowlers next then. The top Indian bowler, we have Mohammad Shami, who's the 11-4 favourite in this market. Ashwin is 130 shot. Kumar, 7-2. Sharma, 7-2 also. Fours or bigger, the rest of them. Who do you like in this market?
I mean, for me, this has been India's biggest strength. And you know, I did worry about them coming into the tournament with the bowling, but Mohammad Sami, Yadav, Sharma, Ashwin and Jadeja, the two spinners, have been absolutely excellent, all taking wickets. So I think you could take your pick here. I'm going to go with Ravindra Ashwin, the off-spinner. I think India will look to be aggressive up front, and then Ashwin has been picking wickets up, as I said, through the tournament, already got 12. So I'd go for him. I think he's at 100-30.
Okay, yeah, 130 about Ashwin then for the top India bowler. The top Bangladesh bowler is the last of these markets that we'll take a look at. Al Hassan is the 130 favourite in this one. Murtaza is 7-2. Hossein, 7-2 as well. Ahmed, 4-1. Who do you like the look of?
I'm going to go with Murtaza. I think, you know, they'll look to him for the leader of the attack. They've got Young Hussein, who's bowled well through the tournament. Shakib Al Hassan, who's got loads of experience left-arm spinner. But I think, for me, just Murtaza. I think the market's fairly close, and 7-2 for Murtaza.
OK, Murtaza then gets the pick for Antony in that market. Any other bets been jumping out at you for this game?
No, again, I guess the man of the match, I think it's going to be an Indian. And as I mentioned him earlier, I think Suresh Raina, 12-1. I think he's a decent price. So, yeah, I guess I'll have a look at him if you want to get involved in that market.
OK, Suresh Raina then, a 12-1 shot for man of the match in that one. We'll move on then to the two co-hosts in action in their respective games. First of all, I come Australia on Friday. They take on Pakistan in Adelaide. It's 1-4 about Australia, 3-1 for Pakistan. And Australia come into this game with the highest run rate in the tournament, scoring 7.17 runs per over. Will that be the key for them?
Yeah, I mean, you'd expect them to, where they were playing, to have finished at the top of the group. They had a game rained off early in the tournament and they lost a very close they fought game against New Zealand, but I still think Australia have another gear to go to. The batting, the run rate, as you mentioned, has been just incredible. We've not seen the likes of that in any other of the World Cups. So I think Pakistan, again, have done better than a lot of people thought. They've done well and played some good cricket, but I think Australia are just going to be too strong for them, especially the power in the batting, and then Stark and Johnson with the pace they've got. I think they'll blow Pakistan away.
Yeah, fair enough. And who do you expect to do the damage, Anthony? We've got David Warner, 11-4.
Yeah, any of them. I mean, Warner, Maxwell. I mean, again, we talked about De Villiers coming in and doing his stuff. Glenn Maxwell has been incredible as well. 6-1 on him, and he's scored 257 runs. He can score, you know, 100 off. You know, half as many balls, which makes him really, really dangerous. I think it's between, for me, Warner, Finch, Maxwell. Them three are really in form. I'm just going to punt for David Warner, I think, at the head of the market. He looks to, him and Finch look to get Australia off to a really, you know, fast start, and I think they'll do that again at Adelaide. So I'm going to go with David Warner at 11-4.
Okay, 11-4 then for David Warner there. We'll take a look at Pakistan now then. Misbah Ul Haq is the 130 market leader for their top batsman. Shehzad is 7-2 as well about Ahmed, and it's 4-1 for Yunus Khan. Fairly tight look to this market, Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, they've played, I think, above expectations of Pakistan. I still don't think they have enough firepower with the bat to trouble Australia. Misbah Ul Haq's played well, so has Ahmed Shehzad, sorry. You know, then you look at Sahail and Safris Ahmed as well. I'm just going to go for Shehzad, 7-2. He's been in decent form, but I do fear for Pakistan in this game, but I'll just plump for Shehzad at 7-2.
Shehzad then getting the nod at 7-2 for the top Pakistan batsman. Move on to take a look at the bowlers then. Mitchell Stark, the 9-4 favourite for Australia. Mitchell Johnson at 3-1, 7-2 for Pat Cummins. James Faulkner is 4-1, along with Josh Hazlewood, who can do the damage in the Australian attack.
It's the top two in the market. I think I tipped up Mitchell Stark at the beginning of the tournament to be top wicket taker. He's 16 wickets already. He really has been impressive. Even, you know, outball Mitchell Johnson. He's put pace on, left arm, swings the ball. And I think he'll continue to trouble the Pakistanis. I know the headline offer is 3-1 for Mitchell Stark to be top Australian bowler and Australia to win. So I think that's a good way to get involved. I think not many people will back Australia at 1-4, but I think there's a very good chance Mitchell Stark will be leading wicket taker for Australia.
OK, fair enough then. Top Pakistan bowler then is the final of these markets. Mohammad Irfan is the 11-4 favourite. 3-1 for Riaz. Khan is 7-2. These boys are going to have their work cut out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be a Pakistan bowler.
No, you wouldn't. You're right. Adelaide will be a great batting pitch as well. I mean, they've bowled pretty well, to be honest. Sahail Khan and Wahid Riaz in particular. Yeah, I think you could put these in a hat and pull them out, because I just think there's going to be boundaries galore. I'm going to go with the leading wicket taker for Pakistan in Riaz at 3-1, just simply because he's had a good tournament, and as I say, he's picked up some wickets.
Okay, then Riaz getting the vote for Anthony in that one at 3-1. Are the other markets in this game, Anthony, anything else making the appeal?
Not really, no. I just think, you know, I can't make any case for Pakistan at all. And I think it's just going to be one way, really. So I'd be on Australia, you know, as much as I can in this one.
Okay, yeah, very likely to be one-way traffic at Adelaide. We'll move on into the other co-hosts and the final of the four quarter-finals. This one, see New Zealand taking on the West Indies. 1-3 about New Zealand, 12-5 for the Windies. And New Zealand come into this unbeaten in the tournament. And the Windies, on the other hand, sort of squeezed through without being especially impressive. With that in mind, should this one be going the way of the co-hosts?
It should do, yeah. I mean, as you say, they've got the unbeaten record so far, played some really good cricket, beat the favourites in Australia. Apart from that, they've been pretty comfortable in every other game. West Indies have just sneaked through. You know, they had that embarrassing defeat early on against Ireland, but just managed to come through. There's some dangerous players, but if you look again at New Zealand, very, very dynamic in the batting up front. And again, the most impressive bit for me has been the bowling unit. You know, Trent Bolt, Southie, Anderson, Milne and Vittori, all excellent bowlers, and I think they'll just have too much again for the West Indies.
Yeah, they have been impressive with bat and ball this tournament, New Zealand, and their top batsman market is headed by Brendan McCullum at 3-1. Kane Williamson is 130. It's 4-1 for Guptill. Who do you fancy in this market?
I like Martin Guptill. I think he's just improved as the tournament's gone on. He's 261 runs, leading run scorer for New Zealand. Again, plays a perfect foil for me with how Brendan McCullum plays. McCullum comes in and takes the game to the bowlers right from ball one, and Guptill bats alongside him. So I think 4-1 is a very, very good price for an in-form Martin Guptill.
OK, then Martin Guptill getting the nod in that market then at 4-1. The top West Indies batsman is headed by Chris Gayle at 11-4. Marlon Samuels is 4-1. It's 9-2 for Johnson Charles and 5s by those. We mentioned in an earlier podcast, Anthony, Chris Gayle is always at the forefront of this market, but yeah, his good days tend to be few and far between nowadays.
They do. I was just about to say that. I mean, he scored that unbelievable knock, but apart from that, he hasn't done much. And like you say, nowadays he's a 1-in-5, 1-in-6 batsman. So I'd be tending to go away from Chris Gayle. I just worry for the top order of the West Indies batsmen. Wellington, where the game's been played, it's got good bounce and good carry. So I think the run scorer, top West Indian batsman, will come from the middle order. And I'd be looking at some value in someone like Lendl Simmons at 11-2, or even Darren Sammy at 12-1, which is a big price. I just think West Indies will lose early wickets here, so I'd be tempted maybe to play two batsmen here, and Lendl Simmons and Darren Sammy.
Okay, then Lendl Simmons and Darren Sammy, 11-2 and 12-1 respectively. Anthony, looking towards the middle order then for the Windies batsmen. We'll go to the bowlers, and we've got joint favourites in the top New Zealand bowler market. Trent Bolt and Tim Southee are both 11-4. Daniel Vittori is a 7-2 shot. As we mentioned, they've been just as good with the ball as they have with the bat this tournament.
They have. I mean, arguably, Southee and Bolt are the best opening pair alongside Johnson and Stark in the tournament. So, for me, it comes one of these two for the top wicket taker, Southee or Bolt. I think you can take your pick on this. Bolt has 15 wickets and Southee's 13, so there's nothing between them. Both have put pace on excellent lines, and they've already bowled well in Wellington, so I think you could pick at either of them and make a case for either.
Okay, yeah, not much to choose between the front two in the market then. Top West Indies bowler, finally, Jerome Taylor is 5-2, Jason Holder 130, Roach is also 130, and it's 4-1 for Andre Russell. Bigger prices the rest, and these are another group of lads who might be in for a tough day.
Could be, yeah. Again, I think the West Indies bowlers will be more happy than the West Indies batsmen, because I think they'll be a little bit in it for the West Indies bowlers. Jerome Taylor's got the most wickets, so I guess that's why he's at the head of the market, 5-2. I've been fairly impressed with Jason Holder. I must admit, I think he's bowled better than I thought he could do at 100-30, and Andre Russell's picked up wickets as well. I'm going to go for Jason Holder. I think he's improved in this tournament, and I think slightly better price than Taylor. So Jason Holder at 100-30.
Okay, and Jason Holder in that market. And anything else in this game?
No, I think again, I think New Zealand will win this fairly comfortably. I don't think there's any markets up yet on the man of the match. So I think closer to the time, I think one man I'd look at man of the match is for New Zealand, Corey Anderson, 158 runs in the tournament, 10 wickets as well, really good, coming in late in the innings and hitting the boundaries, and also picks up valuable wickets. So once the markets come out, I think Anderson might be a shout for man of the match.
Okay, fair enough then. Excellent stuff there. Just before we go, Anthony, have you got a best bet of the quarterfinals?
I'd be Duplessis against de Kock. I know it's a short price, 4-5 in the match betting. I just can't see de Kock coming out and getting, you know, any runs at all. And I think Duplessis is in good form. You know, only 53 runs de Kock, and I think at nearly even money, I think that's a fairly safe bet for me in the quarterfinals.
Okay, good stuff. And there we are, the thoughts of Anthony McGrath, former England and Yorkshire cricketer, ahead of the World Cup quarterfinals. Should be absolutely fantastic cricket on offer, Anthony. Thank you for joining me on the podcast, and I hope you enjoy the games over the coming week.
Thanks, Sam. Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.